You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev.
Let's go out east to talk Canadian football leagues. We're joined by Matthew Schnetti from TSN. He's a sideline reporter for TSN. He also wears Chuck Taylor's. Mr. Schnetti, what's wrong with the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
Well, first of all, it's good to talk to you both of you. It's been too long, boys.
Way too long.
This is the thing. I don't know. I'm starting to feel a little iffy about this situation in Hamilton, only because you have to go by what your eyes tell you and what your ears hear. And when you have Ken Austin today talking about belief in the locker room and appearing confident and as you would expect a head coach to be, obviously in the wake of an 0-7 start, someone has to kind of show some kind of confidence. But although he didn't double down in saying he needed better play out of his quarterback position as he did on the weekend, what Coach Austin did say was everything he saw on film confirmed what he said. So although not saying absolutely and I need Zach to be better, he is, I guess, saying it in another way. And then to hear Zach Caleros say that he did not speak to Coach Austin and Coach Jones about his play, and then to sarcastically say afterwards that he liked the question the media posed to his coach about his play, to me, hints at a disconnect between the coach and the quarterback. And you can obviously see something is up with Caleros. He's just not the same player he was. Even when he came back, he showed last season, he showed fits and starts of some of the play that basically dominated the league and got him the tag of the highest paid player in the CFL. This is more than just Caleros, but this is a quarterback-driven league. And June Jones has come in, the assistant head coach, offensive coordinator, whatever you want to call him. The fact is Jones is taking a different approach from Austin in complimenting Caleros and saying how much he appreciated some of the gutsiness that Caleros showed against the Bombers. So clearly we have an approach of a coach who, I don't know what Ken Austin is trying to get at by saying that he needs better play and then you're being maybe a little reluctant to show support for his quarterback, and then his new assistant head coach, offensive coordinator, being all the more complimentary about it. So there just seems to be a disconnect. And if you don't win at all and you keep losing, these things tend to get worse.
Oh, well, there's no doubt. When you're 0-7 and you're barely putting any points up, like they only got 130 points the whole year, which is way down in last place in the CFL. So, you know, can you put some of the blame somewhere else other on Caleros? I think we've seen him play, but can you say he's not getting enough time? Are the receivers dropping balls? I mean, is there more to this than just the play of their star quarterback?
Their offensive line has been woeful, not just this season, but last season. They've struggled with protection issues. A lot of the throws, listen, I never played the game, but I've been on enough sidelines to know. There were a few throws at the end of the game that Caleros threw out of bounds that looked to me like he was just getting the ball away for the sake of getting the ball away so he wasn't getting hit. And I know how personally a lot of members of that offensive line, you talk Ryan Bomben, Mike Filer, Tony Washington, former Eskimos, come in in the guard position. The tackle position. This is a team that clearly, there's a lot more issues than just Caleros. They've had injuries to receiver. They don't have their main playmaker who they spent so much money on in Terrence Tolliver. He's gone. They're about to lose Ted Laurent for an extended period of time, if Ken Austin is to be believed. Laurent has a lower body injury that he sustained against the Bombers. And then Emmanuel Davis, their top cornerback, is dealing with flu-like symptoms after dealing with, a groin injury he was trying to get over. Nothing has gone right for the Ticats. But they're just as – when you look at – compare it to a team like the Eskimos, who are the opposite end of the spectrum, notwithstanding the injuries they've had, and they've had plenty injuries, they just find a way. So that leads me to believe one thing. This is a coaching issue, which is why some coaches have been let go, reassigned. and some have been brought in. Ken Austin, however he wants to either portray it to the media, has got a growing amount of pressure on him. If he can't get this sorted out and get it fixed, I wonder what the threshold is amongst team president Scott Mitchell and the caretaker Bob Young, the owner. I wonder what their threshold is with Austin if this continues throughout the season.
We're joined by Matthew Schnetti from TSN, taking a look at the Canadian Football League. Matt, when you look at the Ottawa Redblacks, are they 1-6-1, or are they still the defending Grey Cup champions? Because clearly, not a lot's gone right for Ottawa in the first eight games of the season.
You can talk about how great you play for three and a half quarters, but in as Jason can tell you, I don't necessarily think as a professional athlete, they give you wins in the in the column and points in the standings because you played great for three quarters of the game. There just is an issue right now with execution at the end. Maybe it's the turnover, as Henry Burris stated, although you did lose Ernest Jackson and Henry Burris and Damaso Munoz. But there are still a lot of pieces on this team that won a Grey Cup last season. There's just something about this team that when it gets to under that 7-minute, 5-minute, three-minute warning mark, they just cannot get it done. And if they continue to struggle, and continue to give up games, because they've lost games. Like they haven't in many ways been beaten. They've given up games with either turnovers or bad play or like they've hurt themselves. I wonder by extension what happens if we're talking about Ken Austin in Hamilton, what happens to Rick Campbell in Ottawa. He's tried to spin this in not necessarily a positive way, but in a constructive way, game in and game out. But the fact is the Red Blacks just aren't winning. I'm not looking forward to being on the broadcasters for this game or talking to the players ahead of it about why both teams are struggling. But this is such a vital game for both teams because you have to think if you're Hamilton and you're 0-8 by the middle of August, your season is done. And if you're the Red Blacks and you're 1-7-1, now you're in the throes of now you're worrying about the crossover. And with looking at what the West looks like right now, there is no crossover. It's going to be either Winnipeg or BC who's going to come over and play in the East against either Montreal or Toronto. So the optics just don't look good right now in this game. You hate it to have to be a desperation bowl in the middle of August, but here we are.
All right, Schnetti, let's start talking about two real teams with six wins combined in 15 games. That's Montreal and Toronto. So when you look at Montreal, you know, the change they had in the offseason, the general manager, coach, all the new guys coming in, are you starting to see a progression from that group to the way that we may feel that a Trestman team plays?
I'm going to say this. I think the best defense is in Montreal. I've seen them up close as I have many times this season to see how ferocious they are, and you look at the age of some of the players they have, and to lose guys like Bear Woods, Alan Michael Cash, and to still be as dominant as they are, they won that game. I mean, yes, Toronto was playing with two backup quarterbacks and switched those quarterbacks at halftime, but this is an amazing defense. This Noel Thorpe deserves so much credit, and I've said again and again and again that he should be one of the names that's pushed forward next time when a head coaching vacancy pops up, because he really is a tremendous talent. The Argos, the pieces are there. It's just trying to fit them right. I think we're finally seeing, or we have over the last couple of weeks, the issues of having a team which basically was put together not haphazardly, but as carefully as you can within the last 4 or 5 months, and still trying to gel coaching staff to coordinators to players. I think they will get it right, notwithstanding Ricky Ray's injury. I think they have something in Cody Fajardo that they might want to take a look at a little closer this week against Montreal. The Argos can be exciting. They've got weapons all over the field. Montreal, I think Darian Durant, I hate to use that term game manager, but here we are with Darian Durant. I think as long as Durant, in much the same way we talked about Kevin Glenn, but as long as Darian Durant can keep his team on the field, can accumulate points throughout a game, it doesn't take much for his defense to keep him to keep the Alouettes in games. And right now, I think Montreal is primed to really take hold on the East if they can beat the Argos this week.
We're joined by Matthew Schnetti from TSN. Matt, let's look out west for just a couple of quick ones. Do we have ourselves a good old fashioned quarterback controversy in BC with Jonathan Jennings and Travis Lule?
I don't know how you can't. I understand Wally Buono and by extension even Travis Lule's commitment and confidence in Jonathan Jennings. Jennings maybe has the strongest arm, the most lethal arm in the CFL. But how can you not look at what Travis Lule did when he was in the 400-yard games he had? I know, albeit, you know, he had one of those games against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. But this is – there's Lule was just playing with a confidence and a freedom that I just – you know, when you play as poorly as Jennings did, and, you know, Jennings took it on the chin himself, maybe, you know, the time off and the kind of injury he had was an issue, but – I don't know how you can't look at Travis Lule and say he deserves the job. I understand Wally Buono. I'm never going to second guess the man who has won as many games as he has all time and the Grey Cup rings and so on and so forth. But again, going back to eye tests and smell tests and hearing tests and all that, Travis Lule is playing the way we saw him play in 2011 after everything that he's had to overcome with his shoulder. I think he absolutely deserves a shot to lead the BC Lions as far as he can.
I'd be interested to know your thoughts of what are people saying about the Eskimos out east. You know, from here close, looking through what they're dealing with, the adversity of injuries, guys stepping up, and still that they maintain a level of play that's good enough to get wins. Is there an understanding in the east that, you know, how good this team is playing, or is it overrated, overblown?
I can tell you, and, you know, this is my opinion, and it is shared by a few people out here, that Mike Riley right now is having an MOP season. He is playing in a way where, and the same with Bo Levi Mitchell, but especially Riley this year, you could turn on the TV and convert someone to liking not just the CFL, but the Edmonton Eskimos, and in particular Mike Riley, just by the way he's playing. I was on the sidelines in Ottawa when Riley came off, and I'm going to obviously omit the colorful language he used, but he went to his team, went down the line to his offense and said, guys, field goals are just not going to cut it. And what happens? Next drive, or maybe two drives later, the Eskimos come out and they score a touchdown and a pass to Chris Getzlaff, a guy who I guess you could consider him second, third, or fourth string in some positions. I mean, he knows every receiver position on the Eskimos offense. But right now, Mike Riley is the face. He is the body. He is the execution. He is the will of these Edmonton Eskimos, but not just Mike Riley. I have seen so much maturity out of Odell Willis. I, you know, we talk so much from, you know, Swaggerville to his time in Regina to now. Odell Willis is a veteran, and the way he conducts himself, the way he even, you know, this is a guy who would himself wander over to opposing benches and start squawking at players. He has this look about him and just doesn't have to say a word, and every defender on that team rallies around him. And he conducts himself with such a professional manner, and obviously wearing a towel that says JC47. He's taken, as Jason Moss has said, the leadership mantle that JC Sherritt has long had in that linebacking core, and he's put it on his shoulders, and he's really excelled, notwithstanding all the injuries and the fact that they could even miss more people on that. You know, I know Marcus Howard was dealing with some injuries. And obviously, Amando Sewell dealing with some injuries as well. Odell Willis is playing out of his mind, and he's become a leader. So everyone in the East, I think, appreciates just how good this Eskimo team is. They are 7-0. It's not by accident. It's not other teams screwing up. They are earning every inch of it, and it starts on offense, really the whole team with Mike Riley, and on defense with Odell Willis and his impeccable leadership.
Matt, we'll close on this from football north of the border to some football south of the border.
Do we have to, Miguel?
I think we kind of have to. We have to get into this at least once. Stredek is a Giants fan, so he's going to love this. The Jets have had a disastrous offseason. Oh, I have them pegged between 2 or 3 victories. Am I right?
Two or three victories?
I have them. I can't pick them to go winless. I have to give them at least 2, because I think they'll beat the Bills or the Dolphins at least once. How are you feeling about the 2017 Jets?
I tell you this, I feel every Sunday I'm going to get up and I'm going to watch my New York Jets because I'm a masochist and I guess I just want to torture myself. But I will watch them knowing that if this is the one special pain I have to endure, a sports fan I have to endure in my life, I will absolutely endure it because I could be a Browns fan and I could be a Lions fan. And at times when you're seeing such awfulness in front of you, you need perspective because life and the things you're dealing with are never as bad as what somebody else is dealing with. But other than that, the Jets suck. And if they get one win, I'll be surprised. Their offense is going to be horrible. And I feel so bad for Todd Bowles because he's a real good coach. And he's been left to dry by Mike McCacken, the GM. I can't imagine you could have a worse offseason than they did. And I'm going to have my phone by the ready because I don't know who's going to play quarterback and how bad they're going to play quarterback. But I imagine my phone might ring given what I did on the sidelines last month. If they need a receiver, I will gladly do it. Although knowing Woody Johnson and the money the owner of the New York Jets has made alongside a certain U.S. president, I'm going to fleece the Jets for everything they have.
As you should, Mr. Schinetti.
So what you guys are saying, though, when you're saying one win, you're counting preseason, right?
So they already peaked then is what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's like I think you guys are actually being generous. They might run the table. They might go with nothing.
Just remember this. As Mel Kiper always says, come draft time, you know one thing for sure. The Jets are going to screw up. So I can't wait for them to draft some offensive guard I've never heard of from some university I couldn't imagine in a place being the first overall pick for the 2018 draft. I can't wait for it because, like I said, this is my lot in life, and this is Majot's lot in life to be Jets fans, because you can't go back now. You have to go to the dance with the one who brung you. Even if that one is blind, deaf, and can't dance for their life.
Shinai, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite you and Majot right now to my Super Bowl party at my house as we watch the Giants play. And I'm like, you don't have to bring anything. Don't even have to bring chips. Just show up.
Just do me a favor, Strudwick. Just get Brandon Marshall to at least one playoff appearance.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't worry.
That man, despite the diva persona many people think he has, he was at the Argos game a few weeks ago. He is a monster. And I went up to him and I shook his hand and I said, thank you for at least trying to make us respectable. And he just looked at me and laughed like I'm some poor idiot that he's glad to have left whatever problem I'm going to be dealing with the rest of my life.
Matt, the 2017 God. Jets will be a test of both of our characters. Thanks for this,
well,
man.
This was so cathartic. Thank you. I said I didn't want to do it. Now I feel so much better about myself.
Exactly. We'll chat later on in the season at the end of the summer. Thanks for joining us today, Matt.
Take care, boys.
Matthew Schinetti from TSN.